This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA. With your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Managing editor at Movies.com and contributing editor at Fandango, Eric Davis, is going to join me to talk about the 2018 Oscar nominations and some other movie news. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
When it comes to the 2018 Oscar nominations, were there any nominees that surprised you? Because for me, Get Out, that was surprising to get one of, Best Picture?
Yeah, Get Out, it's nominated for a few awards, I think, maybe four. And it didn't really surprise me too much because there's been this momentum for the film that's been building 4 months now. And so typically we do not see movies that come out in the January, February timeframe. We don't see them come awards time. But, you know, Get Out, I think, is a special film. I think it's a really smart, inventive, different kind of horror film than we've ever seen before. And it's really cool. You know, I'm really excited to see films like Get Out and The Shape of Water, which has 13 nominations. I just want to mention that this monster movie, by the way, from Guillermo del Toro, has 13 Oscar nominations, leads the field. And so it's just really cool to see genre movies. And when I say genre, I mean horror, sci-fi, to see them sort of in the Best Picture race. That's something that we don't see a lot of. And I'm hoping that we see more of it to come, and we'll see with Get Out. You know, Jordan Peele's nominated, as is the film. So I think it's just really exciting. And that Best Director category, I think it's cool. Four out of the five directors nominated, it is their first time being nominated, and so that's pretty special too.
That's what was surprising for me. It was horror, because the last horror movie that I can remember, because there's probably one that was a lot more current, it was Silence of the Lambs. How old is that, right?
Yeah. That's the last horror movie. That won, too. So, you know, but yeah, that's where we're going back to, like, 1990 or 91, or, like, right over there. So, yeah, it's been a long time. And that just goes to show you that there's just been a certain type of movie that is nominated for Best Picture. And I think that because the Academy is expanding the membership, we're getting younger people in there. And so we're getting different voices, diverse voices in there. And so I think from here on out, that Best Picture list is going to look different. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see some of these newer voices amplified, you know, like Greta Gerwig, who's been around as an actress for a long time. But, you know, as a director, this is her solo debut. To see voices like Jordan Peele's be elevated, you know, because all that's going to do is make people more interested in giving them money to make more movies. And those are the kinds of voices we want making movies, in my opinion.
One of the movies I haven't seen yet was Phantom Thread, but someone told me that this is going to be Daniel Day-Lewis's last film. Is that true?
It is, yeah. He has announced that he is retiring from acting after this movie. You know, he's a bit of an odd duck. Daniel Day-Lewis. He's got all kinds of other stuff going on. He's very private man, doesn't do many interviews. He's the kind of guy that, you know, takes method acting to the next level. I remember there was a movie where he went and did, you know, carpentry or something like that for like 10 years, and then he came and played did a role like that. So, you know, he's saying he's retiring. He's also the kind of guy that I wouldn't be surprised if 10 years from now he comes out of hiding and, you know, maybe he was sailing ships around the world or something, and now he wants to play a sailor. You know, who knows? You know, I think as long as Paul Thomas Anderson, who directed Phantom Thread, also directed him in There Will Be Blood, as long as Paul Thomas Anderson is still making movies, they have a nice rapport, a nice relationship, I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Day-Lewis came out of retirement at some point down the line.
You know, he does Broadway, too, like he does theater. Will he be retiring from that, too, or just films?
All I know is film right now. That's all I've seen, you know. So, but, you know, a lot of these performers, they get the itch. And, you know, they say they're going to retire. I remember Steven Soderbergh I remember when he said he was retiring from making movies, and now what, you know, a movie trailer of his just came out 2 days ago. He's already made 3 movies since he retired. So, you know, artists just get this itch. So they'll say, I'm done, and then a couple of years later, they realize, I'm not done yet.
It's like musicians and their farewell tour, right? It's like 15 years ongoing.
Exactly.
There was a trailer for a movie, Dundee, and it's starring Chris Hemsworth and Danny McBride. What is this going to be, a reboot or a continuation of the Crocodile Dundee like series?
Well, this is not going to be any movie, to be honest with you.
Really?
It is part of a Super Bowl ad.
Oh.
That, yes, it is. What they're doing is it's an ad for Australian tourism that they're positioning as a sequel to Crocodile Dundee. They got a lot of stars to participate in it, including Chris Hemsworth, and Hugh Jackman is in it, Margot Robbie. A lot of Aussie actors showed up for it. And now, what's funny, though, is that people love it so much that they want to see the real movie. and so, you know, these are the kinds of situations where don't be surprised if, you know, they create an ad and it does so well that they say, you know what, let's just go and make the movie. So we may see a movie, but no, it's not a movie. It's an ad. It'll run during the Super Bowl. But don't be surprised if it gets such a giant response that somebody's like, you know what, we'll throw $10 million at this and make this, you know, especially if all of the, you know, sort of this these Aussie actors kind of come on board for cameos. I think it might be fun.
You know what this reminds me of is the Geico Caveman TV show. Like, it just,
oh, God.
Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, so that's some stuff, you know, that just goes to show you that some stuff, while it'll be really fun in commercial form, is not very fun in feature-length form. I think Saturday Night Live learned that a few times by trying to turn some of their sketches into movies as well.
I don't know. I get a good laugh out of it, and it gets a Razzie Award. It's all good, right?
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm all for a Dundee movie, though, but they just got to be careful because, you know, those older Crocodile Dundee movies are so full of, like, cliches and, you know, a lot of Australians, you know, don't like those movies because they feel like they represent their culture in the wrong way. But, you know, so they just, I think any kind of new Dundee movie, I think, would have to poke fun at that and sort of what those original movies were.
Now, I hope this trailer is real. The one for Tomb Raider, is that real?
That's real. Tomb Raider is real. That is a movie that is coming out with Alicia Vikander. It is a reboot of the Angelina Jolie movies and, of course, based on the popular video game. This is something that they've wanted to get going for a long time since the Angelina Jolie movies, and it's a popular video game. It's a great time for it because we sort of were getting an influx of female-driven action movies, and so it's ripe for it right now, and they snatched up Alicia Vikander right as she was going through this period of her career where she was up and up and up, so we'll see. You know, these things can go either way. The trailer, for me personally, isn't standing out as something that is just jumping up and saying, hey, come watch me, I'm going to be awesome, but we'll see. You know, I like Alicia Vikander. I think she's a really great actress. I'm curious to see what she does with this role and if this is something that could potentially be a franchise.
It's funny, when I watched the trailer, I love the Tomb Raider rebooted video game, and the trailer is actually like picked from the video game. So if you played the video game, some of those scenes are like action sequences from the game itself. Like, it's a bunch of, like, it's the video game put into a movie. And I thought that was really cool. I don't know why they did that, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're adapting a video game, I think you definitely want nods to that video game. And, you know, the balances. And a lot of video game adaptations don't do well. And I think it's because finding that balance from kind of honoring the game and giving, you know, playing fan service to the fans of the game, but then also making something that's accessible to the general audience, the people that don't play the game, that just want to see a cool action movie. Finding that balance is difficult to do. You know, what movie I think now is going to stand up there, and it's not as much of an adaptation, but it kind of is based on a game, is Jumanji. You know, I thought Jumanji just did such a good job of being about a video game and sort of keeping it entertaining. It was so well-paced. They're going to make a sequel to that now that's going to come out in a couple of years. And while, you know, it's Jumanji was a board, it's a board game for the movie, and while it's not, you know, your normal adaptation of a video game that pre-existed, I think in terms of it utilizing its video game kind of backdrop and infusing that within the film and making it really entertaining, and it was really well cast, I think a lot of people are going to look at Jumanji as a film that did it right.
You're right. I really did like that one. You know, I saw another trailer for Nutcracker, and I'm not going to lie. The only Nutcracker references I have is like the Disney adaptation. So it's the Nutcracker and the Four Realms. Now, is this going to be like the ballet, or is this going to be just like an interpretation of it?
I think it's going to be a little bit of everything.
Okay.
From what I'm seeing. You know, this is going to be a big Disney movie coming out in November. You know, the Nutcracker is the Nutcracker, I think, is a property that, you know, they've tried to execute in film and TV. And, you know, every time it comes to November, December, all of the kids are in Nutcracker performances.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can go see the Nutcracker live, you know. But I think that there isn't this quintessential sort of movie, at least for the new generation, that's based on the Nutcracker. And so, you know, who else but Disney to kind of make this really elegant live-action Nutcracker. I think it looks really beautiful. I think it's going to be a great movie for parents to go take their kids to, especially if they don't have any professional Nutcracker performances happening that are around in their neck of the woods. So, you know, I think it's going to be Disney, and this is going to be a big November movie for them. So I'm curious to see it. I think it looks really beautiful, and I think it is going to be a little bit of a mix between, you know, just a regular narrative with some dancing and performances.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Like I said, the only one I can remember is the cartoon version with the Rat King. So I'm a little curious how this is going to play out myself. Now, speaking of other kind of playing out, there, Ryan Reynolds is going to be directing a movie based on Clue, the board game. Like, what is this?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's directing it. I know that he's involved in starring in it with the writers of Deadpool writing it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you know, we've had, you know, Clue, popular board game, played it all the time growing up, and it was a movie. It was a fun little movie. It's become a little bit of a cult hit over the years. And so, you know, they want to reboot it. And I think what I would expect from Ryan Reynolds teaming up again with the writers of Deadpool is that this will probably be like a little bit more of an irreverent version of Clue. But it's fun. You know, Clue is ripe for another movie. Clue is ripe for a franchise, too. You know, I think that any kind of fun murder mystery, as long as it's well-written and it's smart and it's got some cool twist to it, I think it's got the potential to do really well.
Yeah, there was what other board game? There was Battleship came out at one point, and then there was Ouija board. Now we have Clue. I don't know. When's there going to be an Uno movie, right?
Yeah, I know. It's an Uno movie. I don't know. You know, and Candyland, too. You know, I don't think they really made a great Candyland movie. I remember there was that scene in Wreck-It Ralph when they go to that little candy kind of place. But I do think that, like, a really cool Candyland movie of, like, a couple of regular kids getting trapped in a world full of candy, kind of Willy Wonka style, I always thought that movie might be a fun one.
Ooh, what about Mousetrap? That would be a good one,
Mousetrap.
Too.
Yes. Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Yes.
Yeah, we said at the same time, yeah. Hungry, Hungry Hippo. Well, if you saw Jumanji, you got a taste of Hungry, Hungry Hippo in that movie.
You know what? A while ago, I heard that Sylvester Stallone walked away from Expendables 4, and now he's back on. Do you know what's going on with this movie?
Nobody ever really knows what's going on with a Sylvester Stallone movie. But the latest, and it changes from day to day, but the latest is he did put out a picture of him and Jason Statham on Instagram rehearsing for the Expendables 4. So as of today, there is a fourth Expendables movie happening, according to Stallone. Schwarzenegger will also be back. So you'll have the three core right there. And then he says some familiar names and some new names will be added to it. But I don't think we have that full roster as of right now.
Now, I forgot where I heard this from, but Creed 2 is supposed to have Ivan Drago's son in it. Have you heard what the plot is?
Yeah, that is the plot. From what we know of that movie, it's going to be Ivan Drago's son sort of looking to get maybe some payback or something. And so it's going to be the two sons, Apollo Creed's son and Ivan Drago's son. And, you know, those who know their Rocky mythology know that Ivan Drago was the big, tall Russian from Rocky IV who killed Apollo Creed in the ring, and then Rocky went to avenge his sort of death by going to Russia to fight him. And so now, of course, if you saw the first Creed, Michael B. Jordan plays Apollo's son, and the first Creed was all about him sort of coming to terms with who his father was and whether or not he was destined to be a champion fighter. And now, now that that's established that he's a fighter, here comes Ivan Drago's son looking to cause some trouble. So, you know, I'm of the opinion, I love Creed. I wish kind of that movie would just, you know, leave it alone, leave the Rocky. I thought it was a great send-off for Stallone, too. But, you know, they'll be back for a sequel, so we'll see how that goes.
I actually thought that's what Stallone wanted to do, was to keep Creed kind of separate from Rocky. I mean, wasn't that a thing a while ago, or no?
Yeah, you know, it's always a thing. You know, I guess it's hard. It's hard when you have Rocky Balboa in a film. It's hard not to dig a little bit into that Rocky mythology. And so I guess they thought that to keep it personal and to keep it tied to the mythology, a sequel only made sense if we had Ivan Drago. You know, so Dolph Lundgren, who played Drago, is still around, still kicking. So I will see. Maybe he might be in it. I think, you know, our sort of tensions with Russia are in the real world are a thing right now. That's happening. So I think it could be it's an opportunity to write a very topical and relevant screenplay about this and kind of weave some of that topical narrative around Russia into it. So I'm curious. I'm curious to see. I mean, for all we know, Drago's son grew up in America, and he's very Americanized, and, you know, maybe that's a component. We don't know what they're dealing with, but I do think that there is an opportunity to write a really smart script that I think means something for today's audience.
Speaking of opportunities, the new Flash movie coming up, it's going to be based on the Flashpoint storyline, and there have been rumors that maybe they're going to do a soft reboot to Justice League. Do you think that's true?
You know, nothing is cemented right now when it comes to DC. We do know that Flashpoint is happening. They just hired the directors of for that film. They also did they wrote Spider-Man Homecoming and the recent Vacation movie. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the Flash movie. I liked Ezra Miller in Justice League. I think he's going to be doing good. As far as the future of Justice League, we just don't know yet. They just haven't really said beyond Aquaman and beyond Flashpoint. We know that there's another solo Batman movie in the works from Matt Reeves, the director of the last two Planet of the Apes movies. But we don't know if Ben Affleck is definitely playing Batman. We've heard different things that he's not, that he is. So I think that right now we just don't have definitive word on what the future of Justice League looks like. So we'll see. You know, maybe they're going to wait till Aquaman comes out to see how that does. We just don't have enough information right now.
So, okay. So you just said all these really great directors. Where's Josh Whedon? Is he not going to do any more DC stuff?
Well, the last I heard, he was doing a Batgirl movie. He wanted Batgirl, and so he may be working on a Batgirl movie, and which could be cool. So yeah, that's the last I've heard of a Joss Whedon.
I don't know. Maybe they should have gave him a chance. He did great with Marvel, right?
Yeah. I, for all we know, they offered it to him, and he turned it down. You know, he did help out with Justice League and doing some rewrites, and so, you know, we'll see.
You know, I saw Justice League, and my friend was like, oh, you can tell when Josh Whedon directed, like, this is his scene. That was,
yes, exactly.
A lot of people were able to do that, and I thought that was pretty funny. John Cena, he's a wrestler for WWE, and it's talks that he's going to do Duke Nukem. Do you know anything about that?
Just that he's been cast. Yeah, and Duke Nukem. It's another property that they've tried to do some stuff with over the years, but never really kind of panned out. And it makes sense. I think John Cena is kind of emerging. I think trying to accomplish what Dwayne The Rock Johnson accomplished as a wrestler turned actor, kind of trying to feel his way through action movies, in comedies, doing a little bit of everything. And so, you know, it makes sense for Cena to do this. It's certainly what Johnson's doing. And we'll see. I think he's shown that he's got a lot of personalities. And so I'm excited to see him.
Me too. I just like video game movies in general, but that's just me. For February, what can we expect in the movie realm? Anything exciting coming out?
Black Panther. It's all about Black Panther. I have seen it. I love this film. I think it's great. And I think a lot of people are going to be... I think it's a game changer for Marvel. I really do. I think it's a Marvel movie that really means something. It's got Marvel's probably best villain maybe ever that they've had. And so I'm just excited for fans to see it. I'm excited to see how well it does at the box office. I think it's going to be a film that does a lot for sort of the future of cinema moving forward too. I think it's pretty cool.
Oh wow! I was always a fan of Black Panther, the comic book, and I always liked Moon Knight. It's kind of nice that one of them got a movie.
Yeah, exactly. I dig it. It's a really good movie.
But there is another movie I wanted to see. It was Game Night, and it reminds me a lot of the game for, at least the trailer does, the game for with Michael Douglas and Sean Penn. Did you think that too, or did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah, I did. I actually did see Game Night. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but yeah, it is kind of this mix of like the game with Date Night. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Steve Carell and Tina Fey?
Yeah.
So like sort of like these regular people who just want to have like a game night, and then like they get involved in like a real heavy, like, you know, murder mystery that's going on. but yeah, you know, I think it's got that mix, and I think it's cute. I think it might be a cute date night movie for people for sure.
Yeah, it's like you always need one of those movies where it's just like, I got nothing ready to do on Saturday. Let me go waste 2 hours of my life somewhere. There was another movie. It was called 1517 to Paris. Do you know what that one's about?
That is based on a real story. It's directed by Clint Eastwood. It's based on, remember those guys that were on a train? They were ex-military, and
there was a
terrorist attack on the train, and they foiled it. And there were like three of them, and this is their story. And what's unique about it is that the guys that were actually in that this happened to star in the film as themselves.
Whoa! So this isn't just like an adaptation of the story. This is going to be based more on what actually happened then.
Yep, this is going to be based on what actually happened, and the guys play themselves, which I thought was interesting.
That is, I didn't know that part. That is actually really cool. Another reason to go see that movie. All right, well, cool. Thanks so much, Eric, for joining me. For those listening, where can they find you at?
You can find me at Fandango and also on Twitter at Eric with a K, Davis.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.